It is News with Nick. I am here March 6th, 2020. I'm not live. I'm just recording a video version of the show. If you want to check it out, head on over to newswithnick.com and click on the episode, and you can view the video. Now, we'll get into the site soon. Stuff to talk about the site. Been a bit. Here I am. I'm alive. Just felt like we needed to record something. Get it up, and you people deserve an update, I suppose. Well, not really deserve, but it's like, might as well have, if you're going to pay for a site, right, just might as well post something there once in a while, and unless you're that old guy who was 60 and he paid to have his site hosted for like 2 years after he shooted himself right in the face, right? He's like, I'm going to kill myself, but I'd like to leave a little note, and I'm going to leave it on my website. Boy, is it hot in here. Got the heater on, and it is burning. So anyway, I guess sometimes it's worth posting stuff on the site. I listen to this show sometimes, and I click it, and I catch myself, like, been listening for 5 minutes to myself talking. And I'm going, well, I'm either hilarious or a psychopath, because I keep just listening to myself. Five people killed in a Molson Coors shooting. Is this a beer company?
Chaos on the campus of Molson Coors.
Respond 3939 West Highland Boulevard. Active shooter.
One of the worst. Wow. That is the slowest 911 lady. There's an active shooter. She's talking so slow.
3939 West Highland Boulevard. Active shooter.
Active. I wonder what the next word's going to be. Hopefully it's not a shooter. Shooter. Oh, no. Active shooter.
One of the worst mass shootings in Wisconsin history, rocking our city.
There were five people who went to work and thought they would come home.
Okay, confirmed active shooter. Shooter's still at large.
They just told us shelter in place, so we sheltered in place.
This is an unspeakable tragedy for our city.
All right, someone did like a little mashup here with music and everything. Milwaukee, five people were killed in a shooting near Milwaukee's Molson Coors campus, according to the police. The suspected shooter also died at the scene from a self-inflicted gunshot wound, as is tradition. Dozens of squad cars and emergency responders were called to the area just after 2 p.m. Police say the gunman, who opened fire at one of the nation's largest breweries in Milwaukee, killed five employees before taking his own life. Police identified the assailant who attacked the Molson Coors complex as a 51-year-old Milwaukee man who worked there. The shooting occurred Wednesday at a sprawling facility that included a mix of corporate offices and brewing facilities, blah, blah, blah. So he was a current employee? Is that the case? Because normally they're like, oh, it's a disgruntled former employee. People like using the word disgruntled a lot when it comes to former employees. Let's see what this guy has to say. He's an employee.
Molson Coors has hundreds of employees at this campus. At one point there.
Skip ahead and see if we can find his
actual.
Where
the shooting took place.
If I wouldn't have gone to talk to this guy, if it was relieving me, I'd be one of them guys. Yeah, I know that for a fact, because I would have walked right into what was going on.
He knows the people who died and is still coming to grips with it all.
Yeah, I know them all. Even the guy apparently that's accused of doing it. I don't know what happened, what made him go. I know some of the victims. Yeah, I really feel for the families. Man, I'll pray for you. That's all I can really do.
At this point, employees tell us it's not clear what the next steps are.
Okay, so there was a workplace shooting. There was some news that came out earlier today, or earlier this week at least, about this shooter. A noose was once placed on the locker of the man who shot and killed five coworkers at the Molson Coors complex. A noose was found on Anthony Farrell's locker in 2015. The Molson Coors spokesman Adam Collins said, "The company has not been able to identify who placed it there. It was a disgusting act 5 years ago. It remains disgusting today." Collins said Farrell, 51, who is African-American, was not working the day the noose was placed on his locker. Our HR team notified him of the incident It was investigated fully. No camera footage was available to show who placed in the locker. Wait, they told him? So he wasn't even working. Someone walks up, puts a noose there, right? Someone else finds it, takes it down, and then they go, hey, black guy, by the way, you're being profiled. Watch out for nooses because people are showing them to you. Hey, anyone watching the video version, I'm so sorry. Like, the lighting is all messed up. It just keeps going back and forth, bright and not bright. I think it's very confused by my outfit, which I suppose if you're not watching the video version, you don't know what it is. But I think the camera is a little confused today. We offered HR and security services to the employee. We talked to the brewery leadership team in Milwaukee about the issue, and we ensured everyone knew about it. Anyway, so he was at one point targeted with a noose, and then he decided to shoot up the place 5 years later. Probably not related to the noose at all. Maybe it was related to people saying mean things, though, about black people. So anyway, the reason I bring this up is we just had, like, this was a couple days, I think, after, or maybe it was before, I don't even know. We had scheduled, required violent intruder training at my work, 2 hours long. So we go in, and it's taught by, like, this famous guy. We'll get into him in a second. He was the police chief in Boston when those bombs went off. You know, one of our favorite news stories of all time. And he was there. He, like, drove to the scene, and he was like, I'm here. I'm the chief. But now he's retired, and he goes around teaching violent intruder training. So the first thing they do in violent intruder training is they go around the room, and they say, bang, bang, bang. You're all dead. No, they say, you hear shots in the hallway. What do you do? And they go around the room, and they ask everyone what they would do. And some people say, barricade the door. Some people say, I would get under the table. Some people say they would just freak out. And they come to me, and I'm the only person in the whole place that says I would make a run for it. Like, I'd risk it. I know how to get out from this room. I would shoot down the stairs and get out of here. And again, obviously what they teach in these places is run, hide, fight, right? Which is you're supposed to run first from these bullets. And then if you can't run, you hide. And then if you can't hide, you beat them with a hammer, right? Anyway, 2 hours of training about stats, about how to barricade doors, about I don't even know. And over again, they just keep saying, remember, a workplace shooting is less likely to occur to you than getting struck by lightning. And I'm like, well, okay, then why aren't we having lightning training? This is a huge waste of time. Anyway, it was taught by this guy, Daniel Linsky, managing director in Kroll's security risk management practice. He's head of the Boston office. He's a 27-year veteran of the police, and he provided strong leadership, which is one of the most tragic and contentious events of the city's history. Blah, 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 blah. He founded the Linsky Group. In his role, he provided clients with security, law enforcement, and emergency management services, including dignitary protection. Wow, cybersecurity and confidential investigations, as well as incident reviews and training exercises. So this company's sole purpose is to tell other companies that there's a risk of shooters and that they need to train all of their employees how to respond to shootings. Okay, whatever. I guess it's kind of fun. I guess the training is helpful if in the off chance there's a shooting, everyone's thought about it, right? You don't go, what do we do? What do I do? But you know what they didn't teach us? How to identify if there's a shooting going on, right? Because every news story you hear, they go, there was a shooting. I just thought it was some guy chewing gum in the hallway really loudly. Yeah. What we needed was a guy down the hall shooting a gun, going, this is what it sounds like, everyone. How are we supposed to know, right? I've never heard a gunshot, at least not in a building. So, yeah, I would just assume that it was someone rolling a dumpster or something like that. So, I don't know. So if you look this guy up, he's got speeches online, and you can even watch him give speeches. I can't tell if he's a good cop or a bad cop, but you never know. I mean, you usually know that they're mostly one or the other, but mostly one. I don't know what I'm saying. Let's move on. Everyone's freaking out over the coronavirus. This is new today. 21 people test positive for coronavirus on a California cruise ship out of only 46 tested so far. So that's like 48%. 21 of the 46 people tested Thursday came back positive, raising fears that the virus could be spreading widely among more than 3,500 passengers aboard the Grand Princess. Mike Pence, okay, I guess he's the expert now, said that those infected include 19 crew members and 2 passengers. Okay, so it's only the crew for the most part. Because they're all sleeping together, you know. Those crew members do not get nice rooms. They put them all below deck, probably 50 to a room, 2 to a bed. The vice president said authorities plan to bring a cruise ship to a non-commercial port over the weekend where all passengers and crew will be tested for the disease and quarantined as necessary. The public health disaster on the ship echoed a similar crisis from last month when 700 people aboard another Princess Cruises ship, the Diamond Princess, became infected with the coronavirus while the ship was quarantined for weeks off a place in Japan. Let's see. U.S. officials made it clear Friday that they have no intention of keeping the Grand Princess at sea and in limbo for nearly that long. So we got no clue what's going on. Pence's announcement at the White House seemed at odds with the wishes of President Trump, who was asked during a visit Friday at the CDC and Prevention, CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Shouldn't it be CDCP? Like, isn't it called the CDC, though? But they just changed it to Centers of Disease Control and Prevention? I don't know. In Atlanta, whether a decision had been made on what to do with the people aboard the Grand Princess, Trump said, "That's a very good question." He said he preferred to keep the passengers on the ship for the moment. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, but it's not up to Trump, is it? What if they all just? What if everything was just up to Trump? Trump, what should we do with the coronavirus people on the ship? Lock them up. If it was up to Trump, everyone would stay inside 100% of the time, because I don't know. That's all he knows. It's a virus. He says we don't. He says, I don't need to have the infected member numbers double because of one ship. That wasn't our fault. And it wasn't the fault of the people on the ship. He said, I'd rather have the people stay on personally. Public health experts say cruise ships are particularly bad places during outbreaks because of the combination of close quarters, blah, 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 blah. All right. Everyone's freaking out about coronavirus, right? It's in the news 24/7. Started in China, whole bunch of virus people. And then they were like, where's it going to go next? And it's come to the U.S., okay? Who cares? Except every person's employer, right? We had someone at work today who had just recently gone to France. And apparently, France was not on the list of places that were at risk all week until today. And then the company looked at the list again and said, okay, we're going to add France to the risk list. And then they took the kid who'd gone to France the weekend before and sent him home. Said, you're out of here. Go home and sit in your house and stare at a wall for 2 weeks because you went to France. He's not allowed back at work for 2 weeks because he went to France last weekend. Even though it's already, if he had it, it's already in, right? Or does it get more, you know, contractible the stronger it is and if you show symptoms? I don't know. I'm sure he's completely fine, but I don't understand. So if you touch another country where someone had coronavirus, now all of a sudden there's a chance that the coronavirus flew 3,000 miles through the air, got on you, and then you brought it back. Everyone would already be dead if that was the case. Anyway, this afternoon, we get an update. What are the changes going to be in the cafeteria due to the latest outbreak? In an effort to protect you, your coworkers, and our customers from possible infections, we are implementing the following changes in the cafeteria. Personal hygiene. Everyone should sanitize their hands prior to coming into the cafe. Okay, so this just went out this afternoon, so I haven't experienced the rules yet. Is there going to be a hand sanitizing cop standing at the door, making sure everyone hand sanitizes before walking into the cafeteria? We will find out. When getting your food or utensils, only touch the ones that you will be taking. Do not take out five, lick them, and then put them back in. It doesn't say that. I made that part up. Call back to that girl. Do not leave your dirty plates with food and silverware out in the open. Serving modifications. Salads will be pre-packed. The self-serve salad bar will be closed temporarily. I am pissed. This is my favorite part of the cafeteria. Obviously, I eat a salad every single day almost from the salad bar, and now there is no salad bar. And I can't be buying pre-packed salads because these people don't do the egg to pepper to bell. Oh, crap, I messed up the bit. Now let's try it again. These people don't do the egg to banana pepper ratio correctly. Condiments will only be provided in single serve packages. Okay, so there will not be any ranch dressing just sitting out, able to be served using either a ladle or a little bottle thing. You just got to buy them. Soup and pickles will be dispensed by the cafeteria staff, so those are not self-serve anymore either. Silverware will be replaced with individually wrapped disposable cutlery or single-serve dispensers. The straw banners are in shambles. The silverware is now being replaced with single-use plastic. There's going to be like a literal protest at work, I think. All right, and the increased cleaning of touch points, tables, handles, and coffee makers are being cleaned. Now, earlier this week, there's a little Mexican man that comes around and wipes all of the handles, and he's been wiping the handle of my office door. And I didn't even think anything of it until the third day he comes in and wipes the handle right on cue. He hasn't been doing it for the last 9 months I've worked there, just this week. And I'm like, oh, okay, it's because of everyone freaking out over the thing. I don't know. It's like, what are we going to do? Hide in our houses all day? Live scared? I don't think so. I refuse to. I would like to get coronavirus. And then everyone's like, wash your hands. And that's going to help. And I keep thinking, is that really going to help? Because I don't actually know. I've never washed my hands. Has anyone actually ever washed their hands? Have you ever looked at that thing? It says, here's how to wash your hands. Rinse them, squirt some soap on it, rub it around. Like, all the memes are going around now because so many people are sharing wash your hands instructions. And it's actually making me think that I'm pretty sure I've never thought about it. Just like I've never thought I need to brush my teeth while singing Happy Birthday, I've never thought I need to wash my hands while humming the national anthem, right? I just rinse my hands, put a little soap on it, maybe, if I feel like they're dirty, and then I leave. Am I an idiot? Does it actually matter? How long can germs live on your hands? I'm no scientist. I'm not going to be like, no, it probably doesn't matter. You got to make your immune system strong by not washing your hands. But on the other hand, LOL, I can't tell how many, like, I can't tell how much it helps. Or maybe, yeah, maybe I'm the dumb one and I've just, like, I'm 32 and I'm thinking, oh, I mean, I know how to wash my hands, but I've just never thought that it's important because it's never really been a problem. You know, you learn a lot these days. I'm learning a lot recently too. What am I doing, right? It's been 6 weeks since I logged into this site, posted a new thing. And you're actually catching me at a time that is unlike any other time in my life, probably. I am unable to run. And by unable, I mean I have taken a break. It has been 12 days now or something. Because I kept running, and every time I would run, the next day I would limp. And if I tried to run again, I couldn't. It hurt too bad. And this happened in 2017. I know, nobody cares about Nick running. Well, skip ahead 7 minutes if you want. I hope it's not that long. This happened in 2017 too. I would run and then it would hurt, and I couldn't run, and I would rest it just long enough until I could run again. And the problem was, in 2017, I was trying to train for my first 25K, and I'd already done a marathon, so the distance was not a problem, but I was still trying to do good at the 25K, and I couldn't get the miles in per week that I wanted to. I was doing like 17 to 20 mile weeks. That's not appropriate for doing a 25K. And it, the reason I was doing it was I couldn't run every day. And the people around me knew this. They saw my suffering. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm literally limping. And then when I can run, I do. And I'm literally running as much as I can, but it hurts so bad. So it happened again, the exact same symptoms. And in 2017, I actually pushed through. I ran injured, and I ran the 25K. And then finally in like July, I said, okay, I'm going to rest. And I rested, and it went away. So now it's February this time around, and I'm going to try to rest and see if it goes away. Right? But it's been 12 days. It's been the longest I haven't run in 8 years, or however long I've been running. So probably like 7.5 or 8, right? So I've been ellipticaling, and that's it. I've gained so much weight. My chair can barely support me. I'm enormous. I'm a hippo. Let's see what else happened. I've been experimenting with skipping afternoon coffee. I have a lot of insomnia, right? Sometimes I'll just lay in that bed and I'll go, I should be able to sleep, but it's 2:30 a.m. Next thing I know, it's 5 a.m. and I finally fall asleep, and then I wake up an hour and a half later. I go, oh, it's time for work. That's not an effective use of my sleep time, right? So I decided, oh, I'm going to do the obvious thing, and I'm going to skip afternoon coffee. It's worked great. 90% of the time, I sleep much better, and the downside is I'm tired by like 5:30. So today, I had an afternoon coffee, and I feel awake. It's crazy. I don't know what to do. There's no middle ground. I'm probably not even going to sleep tonight. I'm just going to be editing, posting the show all night. Other day, I came downstairs, and it was like, I don't know, it wasn't a super cold night, but it was like probably 25, and my heat's running, and I go downstairs, and I walk into the kitchen. The door is just open. Like, in the middle of the night, I hadn't latched it, and it just blew open. So I'm like, great. I just heated the driveway for probably 4 hours. Unbelievable. So again, if you head on over to newswithnick.com, you can sign up for text updates. That feature still works. And in fact, most of the features of newswithnick.com still work just fine. Let's head over to the site. Last week at some point, I loaded the site and I wanted to pull something up from it. And I click on episodes, and every episode listed looks like trash. Like, the featured image is blown up out of proportion. And, oh no, no, that wasn't what it was. There was no featured image. The featured images were gone, and it was just video, 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 video. That's not how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to click the episodes and you're just supposed to see a list of the shows with the featured image. I'm like, what happened? I go into the back end and I don't know. I don't see anything broken. But what happens is that WordPress is based on these themes, right? And a theme takes your content and it formats it into a cool, colorful layout, right? And I take these themes and sometimes I edit them. Like, I'm not super good at it, but I'll take the code and I'll look at what it's doing. And I'll normally be able to find the parts that I want to edit. Like, I wanted the featured image for podcast to be bigger than a thumbnail. So I went and I edited that. I wanted the featured image to show below the excerpt, not above it. Something like that, right? So I edit it. And it looks great. Unfortunately, these themes get updated from time to time, and I forgot to turn updating off on the back end. So what happened was an update got pushed to the theme. And I don't know if it like junked my code entirely or just did something with it. Either way, the site went to complete crap. Or maybe I'd been making the posts assuming that my code was working well, and it was working well until the stupid theme updated, and then it blew up, right? So I go and I have to go download a new theme. And yeah, I could spend a couple hours looking through themes, but I picked a new one. And I applied it to the site, and it took my content. Like, the content was safe. Nothing got lost. It was just the formatting got wrecked, right? and it's fine-ish now. So if you head on over to newswithnick.com, it doesn't look entirely the same, but the content is all there. My race results are still there. The episodes are all still there. So try that, I guess. The contact page works fine. Don't use it. News at newswithnick.com is better. Anyway, that's that. How's everyone else doing? You guys watching the XFL? It's the spinoff, not the really the spinoff of the NFL, but it's like the minor league football league that's launched. I love it. We gotta get behind this, everyone. We gotta down with the NFL, XFL, new norm. I love it. All right, let's see what else is going on in the news. We're going to click through the rest of the news stories here. Dylan Roof staged a death row hunger strike. I haven't heard of this guy for a while. White supremacist mass murderer Dylan Roof staged a hunger strike this month while on federal death row, alleging in letters to the Associated Press that he'd been targeted by staff and verbally harassed and abused without cause, treated disproportionately harsh. Well, is it really without cause? 25-year-old Roof told AP in a letter dated February 13th that the staff at the federal prison in Terre Haute, Indiana, feel justified in their conduct since I am hated by the general public. You can just write to the news from jail? So if you're a famous shooter, you can just be writing to the news left and right. I wonder how many letters they write that the news just throws right in the trash. Probably none, right? The news loves this. If you're a famous shooter, you can just be in the news constantly by just writing letters to the news. Alrighty. A person familiar with the matter said Roof had been on hunger strike but was no longer on one as of this week. The person couldn't immediately provide specific details about the length of the hunger strike or whether medical staff needed to intervene. See what I mean by the news probably will pick up any letter? There's no info. Roof's February 13th letter indicated he was already several days into a hunger strike, and he wrote a follow-up letter that the protest ended a day later after corrections officers forcibly tried to take his blood and insert an IV into his arm, causing him to briefly pass out. That is what they'll do, right? Like, they will force nutrients into your body. I feel confident I could have gone much, much longer without food, Roof wrote. It's just not worth being murdered over. The allegations could not immediately be verified, and a spokeswoman for the Bureau of Prisons said the agency had no comment on Roof's allegations, citing privacy concerns. Roof's lawyers filed an appeal to his federal convictions and death sentence last month, arguing that he was mentally ill when he represented himself at his capital trial. That's right. Did we cover that? He went to court and he fired his lawyer or whatever, and he was just his own lawyer. And now they're filing motions saying that was a mentally ill thing to do. He should get a whole new trial. Oh, yeah. It says there was a 321-page legal brief where his lawyers asked the court to review 20 issues, including errors they say were made by the judge and prosecutors that tainted his sentencing. One of the main arguments, though, is that Roof should not have been allowed to represent himself during the sentencing part because he believed his sentence didn't matter because he believed white supremacists would free him from prison after an impending race war. Is that true? I mean, I guess the lawyers have more knowledge than me, but if you can watch Roof's interview with the cops, and I'm not sure that he was convinced he'd started a race war. I don't know. The TikTok Skullbreaker Challenge lands a New Jersey boy in the hospital. So two New Jersey students face criminal charges after their classmate was seriously injured during the Skullbreaker Challenge, a dangerous game that involves a person being tricked into jumping in the air. Someone kicks their feet out from under them. The challenge has been recorded on video and shared on social media platforms such as TikTok. Stacy Schenker, she's of Cherry Hill, said she and her husband had never heard of the game until they sent their 13-year-old son to the hospital in January with a major concussion. Well, yeah, that's the whole point, is that you don't hear of the game and only your friends do. Right? If your parents had heard of the game, they should have warned you, hey, kid, don't fall for the Skullbreaker challenge. All right, here's what we got. By the time she arrived at the school roughly 20 minutes later, she said her son was unresponsive and in an ambulance. First responders told her that the boy had suffered a seizure. Oh, my goodness. We didn't know what happened. We had never heard of the prank. According to NBC New York, well, let's click on over to what this is. Do we have any videos of the Skullbreaker Challenge? I'm not really going to play them, actually, because I've seen them. So the Skullbreaker Challenge is where you and your not friends, your two not friends, or rather, maybe they are the friends that Andrew would have in high school, line up on the left and right of you, and they go, just jump. I'm not really sure how you convince a person to just jump, but it's like, we're just going to do like a jumping TikTok, right? So you jump, the person in the middle, and then the two people on the side, in unison, kick the person's feet forward, right? So they just swing and they fall backwards and their head breaks on the ground, called the Skullbreaker Challenge. New Jersey schools warn parents of the Skullbreaker Challenge. Results can be scary, victims falling harshly to the ground. A 13-year-old girl in Massachusetts ended up in the hospital with a concussion. A boy of the same age was hurt in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. That's the one we just read. I've heard people crack their heads, hurt their elbows and stuff like that. The trend gained popularity on the video and social media platform TikTok, and now schools around the region are starting to take action to warn parents about the stunt. Yeah, warn your kids, never jump. Never jump for a TikTok, or your skull will be cracked in two. I don't know. That's the latest Tide Podding. Now, how many people are doing the Skullbreaker Challenge? I don't know. I didn't look it up. Who knows? All right, we have a weird story here. It's from Idaho. Let's see this video.
This morning in the disappearance of two children from Idaho. They haven't been seen in 6 months. Their mom, Lori Vallow, is in jail facing a number of charges. And now her husband is indicating he may know something about the kids' condition. ABC's Marcy Gonzalez is on the story from our L.A. Bureau. Marcy, good morning to you.
Dan, good morning. Vallow's husband, Chad Daybell, has repeatedly refused to comment about the children, but that has now changed.
So we've got this woman, Lori Vallow, and her kids are missing. Chad Daybell, 51, was filmed by ABC News as he left Hawaii. Wait, what am I reading here? This is so dumb. Oh, Vallow's children, Joshua and Tylee, have been missing since September. Police in Idaho have said they fear their lives are in danger. The mom was arrested in Hawaii last month after failing to meet a deadline to hand them over to authorities. The kids are safe, the stepdad says. However, Daybell failed to offer any evidence or clues to their whereabouts, leaving other worried relatives still relying on faith. So there's a lady, a mom, her kids are missing. The authorities say, show us your kids. Come on, they're missing. Can you show us that they're safe? She's like, they're fine. Can we see them? She's like, I don't know. Guess I'm arrested, right? And then, so she's arrested, and then the stepdad says, no, they're safe. Trust me. Daybell and his wife had both been questioned by Roxburgh police about the missing children in late November, but when detectives returned the next day, they discovered the couple had left town. Police accused the couple of lying about the children's whereabouts. Daybell has not been arrested or charged in the case. Vallow reportedly believes that she is a god assigned to carry out the work of the 144,000 of Christ's second coming in July 2020. Oh, great. She's a weirdo, too. This is what the headline says. It's like she's a doomsday cultist. But so she's prepping for the end times. Daybell has written several apocalyptic novels based loosely on the theology of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So let's see if this video does have any more info.
He's now saying is giving some hope that his stepchildren may still be alive. This morning, exclusive video shows the stepfather of these two missing Idaho siblings leaving Hawaii as he talks publicly about 17-year-old Tylee Ryan and 7-year-old JJ Vallo for the first time. Chad Daybell telling ABC News the kids are safe.
We already knew this. Is there anything new?
Several people telling ABC News he shared the same with them before heading to Idaho, where his wife, Lori Vallo, will soon be extradited.
And I said, are your kids okay?
This guy's just getting stalked by the news. Look at him. He's just in line to, like, rent a car. Oh, no, he's in line to check into a flight, right? And imagine you're in the news, checking into a flight. You look over. There's the frickin' news again, just stalking me. He waves with his phone. He's like, hello, news. I know you're there.
Wife Lori Vallo will soon be extradited.
And I said, are your kids okay? And he said, yes. I said, is Lori okay? And he said, yes.
Vallo is in a Kauai jail being held on $5 million bail for criminal charges related to her children's disappearance.
So bail is confirmed at $5 million.
According to an...
How is she going to doomsday cult if she's in jail? Guess we'll just continue to follow this story if we remember to. So there's that. All right, so Pete Buttigieg is now out of the race for president. I'm pretty sad about that because he was, I don't know, relatively entertaining. We are down to two in the Democratic race, most people say. Sanders and Biden. And we've got, you know, Tulsi is still technically in, right? Tulsi is just the Ron Paul of the Democrats or whatever, just the person that no one really cares about and will just stay in for a while and be like, I'm Tulsi. It's good for my image to just hang out and be in. Anyway, remember like 5 years ago on the show, Andrew said to me, Nick, who do you think is going to become the president? And I said, I don't know, probably Joe Biden. And Joe Biden wasn't even running in 2015, 2016. And Andrew said, he's not even running, right? And I said, nope, not yet. I thought that was a good bet at that time. Fortunately I was wrong and he didn't end up winning, but that would have been kind of a cool prediction. Now it's looking like I may be right 5 years later or whatever. I mean, he's not going to win. He's not going to beat Trump. Biden is an old guy who kisses little kids. And when the Democrats shove him down America's throat, just like they shoved Hillary, they're doing themselves in. It's going to be Trump. It's not even close. It's like, what's the worst Trump has ever done? Right? And he's been a goof for 4 years. That's the best part. I think those people should stay on the ship. In fact, if you cough, maybe they should just throw them overboard. Ooh, that could be it. That could be the fix. Getting everyone on a cruise ship. The sick ones, we throw over. Only the strong come back. Well, I suppose the coronavirus is handling that on its own. Killing off the weak. A 9-year-old Colorado boy got kudos from openly gay Democratic presidential hopeful Pete Buttigieg when he asked him during a rally for help telling the world that he's also gay. Let's take a look at the footage. Then we'll talk.
And this is a really touching question. He says, thank you for being so brave. Would you help me tell the world I'm gay too? I want to be brave like you.
Wow.
He's handing Buttigieg like a friendship bracelet.
Thank you. Did you make it? Zachary just gave me something he made. I'm going to be wearing it tonight. Thanks very much for that. Well,
little does Buttigieg know, that's one of those bracelets you put on, and then what? And then you take it off when you bang, right? A bang bracelet? Am I making that up? That existed or not?
I don't think you need a lot of advice from me on bravery. You seem pretty strong. To see you It took me a long time to figure out how to tell even my best friend that I was gay, let alone to go out there and tell the world. And to see you willing to come to terms with who you are in a room full of 1,000 people, thousands of people you've never met, that's really something. When I was trying to figure out who I was afraid that who I was might mean that I could never make a difference. And what wound up happening instead is that it's a huge part of the difference I get to make. I never could have seen that coming. And you'll never know whose life you might be affecting right now, just by standing here, right now. There's a lot of power in that. Even if I can't promise it'll always be easy, I can promise you that I'm going to be rooting for you. And I think there's a whole bunch of people here who are going to be rooting you every step of the way.
Okay, so a lady goes up on stage with him. I'm not sure if it's the mom or not, or if it's just a campaign worker. It's most likely a campaign worker. So let's go back to the letter.
Question. He says, "Thank you for being so brave. Would you help me tell the world I'm gay too? I want to be brave like you."
Wow.
And at first I was going to be like, is he asking Buttigieg for tips on how to tell everyone he's gay? Because you just did it. And I, when I re-listen to it, I think that he's saying, here, be with me while I tell the world I'm gay. I'm 9. Yeah, everyone's gay when they're 9. This guy, this kid, oh my goodness. He is never going to live this down or something. Like, what if he's not? I know, right. That's not correct to say, right? By 9, I knew I was gay 100%, right? I don't know. Seems a little strange to be like, here's a 9-year-old. He's gay. It's kind of like that kid. Like, what if he does change his mind? What if he's a bi-man? What if he's a pan-man? What if he's not even a man? Right? And that obviously is going to be okay. It's fine. But it will still be funny when it's like 4 years from now, it's like, remember the 9-year-old that went on stage with Pete Buttigieg and said, I'm gay? Just kidding. I'm not. Are you telling me he has a same-sex partner? Anyway, that's funny. Please help me tell the world I'm gay. I'm 9. So that happened. Oh, crap. What was I going to say? There was a fleeting thought in my head. Oh, yeah. It's like that kid who was 12 and he went up at the Republican National Convention and gave the speech about conservatism and his book called Defining Conservatism. And then 5 years later, he was 17 and he said, just kidding. I'm a Democrat. I got all of my weird ideas from my parents and Rush Limbaugh. And I wrote a book and the Republicans let me speak publicly. That was idiotic of them to do. I was 12. Right? Obviously. Well, anyway, I guess he's gay in 9. We'll just check in on him in 5 years. Here's a funny, quirky thing I saw happen. A New Englander, someone from Maine, was crowned the top grocery bagger in the country at the annual competition in San Diego on Monday night. So apparently this is a thing. The annual grocery bagging competition. So I pulled up the 2016 competition so that we could watch some footage of what this looks like.
Get set, go!
So it's just 5 finalists on stage with a bunch of groceries, and they're not even going that fast. I expected this like to be a Japanese chop house where they're throwing stuff in the air. That girl's going pretty fast, I suppose. And then they bag all these groceries, and then they're judged. I'm not sure if they're judged on speed. I assume so. But they're also judged on, like, weight distribution, evenness, and bread not getting crushed or whatever. Imagine, your job has a national championship. I would love it. I'd try to go. That was, like, just a one-off. Heard this news today. The FDA has finally banned school electric shock devices. And I guess, though, adding the word finally to me saying that implies that the FDA should have done this a long time ago or that they're in charge of electric shock devices. I don't know why anyone would think that. that the Food and Drug Administration would be in charge of corporal punishment. But here it is. The ban is national, but it is squarely targeted at a single school in Massachusetts that's been using the electric shocks to condition students' behavior for decades. So let's look at first at the statement that the FDA has. This is released March 4th, 2020. After careful consideration, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration today published a final rule to ban electrical stimulation devices. And I'm like, ooh, electrical stimulation? Why are they banned? That sounds stimulating. No, you knew I was going to say that. Level one. That sounds exciting. I would like to be electrically stimulated. And then you keep going. Electrical stimulation devices used for self-injurious or aggressive behavior because they present an unreasonable and substantial risk of illness or injury and cannot be corrected or eliminated through new or updated device labeling. Okay, they randomly threw that in. They're like, this is bad, and it's pretty bad, and there's no label that will stop this from being bad. I didn't know that a label was just like your coverall. I guess maybe you should know if it's the Food and Drug Administration. Okay, how bad is this? Is the label clear enough on how bad it is? Okay, push it to market. Since electronic stimulation devices were first marketed more than 20 years ago, we have gained a better understanding of the danger those devices present to public health. Through advancements in medical science, there are now more treatment options available to reduce or stop self-injurious or aggressive behavior, thus avoiding the substantial risk that these stimulation devices present. Now, we're going to read into this. This is so new. This is like most people are hearing about this for the first time this week. They didn't know that this existed or that it was still a thing at all, right? ESDs administer electrical shocks through electrodes attached to the skin of individuals to immediately interrupt self-injurious or aggressive behavior or attempt to condition the individuals to stop engaging in such behavior. So it's essentially a shock collar for a human. Big whoop. Evidence indicates a number of significant psychological and physical risks are associated with the use of these devices, including worsening of underlying symptoms, depression, anxiety, PTSD, pain, burns, and tissue damage. In addition, many people are exposed to these devices have intellectual or developmental disabilities that make it difficult to communicate their pain. Evidence of the device's effectiveness is weak, and evidence supporting the benefit-risk profiles of alternatives is strong, as the risks presented by ESDs meet the agency's definition of unreasonable and substantial and cannot be corrected or eliminated through new or updated labeling, banning the product is necessary to protect public health. The act of banning a device is rare, and the circumstances under which the agency can take this action is stringent, but the FDA has the authority to take this action when necessary to protect the health of the public. The FDA has only banned two other medical devices since gaining the authority to do so. Now we're curious. What are the other two device bans? We'll get to it momentarily. I don't actually know what they are. I opened the tab. The final rule issued today follows a 2016 proposed rule to ban the ESDs from the marketplace and takes effect 30 days after publication in the Federal Register. We got 30 days! We got 30 days to get our stuff. Hurry, go! The FDA understands that a gradual transition period may be needed for a subgroup of individuals currently exposed to these devices to allow time for them to transition to another treatment. Oh my goodness. So the agency is establishing two compliance dates. For devices in use on specific individuals as the date of publication and subject to physician-directed transition plan, compliance is required within 180 days. This is news to me. I didn't read this whole thing. So, okay. So we're shocking. Okay. We're shocking the retards. I said it. We're shocking the developmentally disabled. And we have only 120 days left to do it. And then we can't anymore. What? That's crazy. So we're going to get into this school shortly, figure out what the heck is going on if we can. I'm not even sure if we'll be able to figure it out. But, okay, fine. I'm not a scientist. We got this earlier today. I don't know if hand washing helps. I don't know if climate change is real. and I don't know why they're shocking the developmentally disabled. There must be a reason, right? And there must be a reason why they can't just suddenly stop and that it's going to take 180 days to stop shocking the developmentally disabled with shock collars. I don't know why this is funny. All right, let's look at the other banned devices. List of medical device bans. The ESD is the most recent one. Powdered surgeon's gloves. Powdered patient examination gloves and absorbable powder for lubricating a surgeon's glove. This is effective January 18th, 2017. Wait a minute. That's recent. The FDA has determined that powdered surgeon's gloves, blah, 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 present an unreasonable and substantial risk of illness or injury and that the risk cannot be corrected or eliminated by labeling or change of labeling. Consequently, the FDA is banning these devices. So, like, those plastic gloves you put on, latex rather. Wait, when I was a kid, were they powdered? I feel like now I'm having flashbacks that they were powdered because like it was nicer to put your hand in powdered gloves. And my mom had these gloves around and now I'm trying to think back if they were powdered. And those got banned? You're not allowed, like it's illegal to have powdered gloves now. Interesting. I'm not going to read the entire definition, but I assume it's the particles of powder are defeating the purpose of the glove, which is to create a sterile situation. And the other thing that was banned is in 1983, prosthetic hair fibers. Whatever that is, I'm not even going to go into it. All right, let's see. The ban is national, but it's targeted at a single school, which is the Judge Rottenberg Educational Center. Judge Rottenberg, Rottenberg Educational Center. It is on Facebook, as far as I know, and their comments on their posts are public. And no one's gone in there and been like, so they've got a calendar posted, and no one's gone into the calendar and been like, what day is Shock the Kids Day, right? All right, it serves students, both children and adults, who have intellectual disabilities or behavioral, emotional, or psychiatric problems. It appears to be the only school in the United States that uses painful electric shock to discipline students. The practice hasn't been in place there for decades. Those students who have been approved by a court to receive the treatment wear a backpack with a battery inside. It has a protruding wires that can deliver shocks to the skin when triggered by an employee at the school. The practice was meant to condition the behavior of students by causing pain when they acted in ways that endangered themselves or others. Right? So they're sitting there. They're trying to cut themselves. They've grabbed a shiv, and they're going to the next developmentally disabled person, right? And then the teacher has their board of shock buttons, and they go, no, Joey. Bzzz. The article quotes the thing we just read. And let's see, the decision was a culmination of more than a decade of legal battles between the school and its critics, who argued that the electric shock were excessive and caused lasting damage. One family sued the school in a high-profile case. Some of the students' relatives have defended the practice, though, saying it has worked to change students' behaviors when nothing else could, and denounced the FDA's decision. So there are relatives in there that are like, no, shock my kid. Shock my adult. Shock them till they comply. I feel like I got punched in the gut when they did this, said Louisiana Goldberg, 66, whose son lives at the center. I'm just so sad. Huh. She said her son had brain damage and epilepsy and that he showed severe aggression as a teenager. There were violent episodes, trips to the hospital, and psychotropic medications that left him sluggish. His mother said he was placed into physical restraints for hours at a time. His life was torture. Mr. Goldberg went to live at the educational center at 19 and began to wear the electronic shock device. Ms. Goldberg said her son would receive two-second shocks as a sporadic part of broader treatment. He has since been weaned off the device and can do things he could not do before, like go to the movies. This treatment works, and I will stand by it, and I will fight for it. Wow, this is crazy. What if, like, he had to go to the movies, but he had to wear the shock thing? And then if he acted up or, like, started running at someone, his mom had to stand up with the remote and go, no. No, Mr. Goldberg. Down. Shock. Anyway, I guess, yeah, this is very funny to think about, but this is not funny. These are people's lives here that are being affected by this. I don't know. Like, you go to Reddit and they're like, wow, what a torture device. They're torturing these kids. They're shocking them. And yeah, it sounds like it. But then there are these parents that are like, it's working. Now, again, maybe the parent is psychotic and Satanistic too, right? I don't know. But this is why we do research, I suppose, right? Because someone could look at, like, anyone on the street. You go, hey, should we ban shocking of the developmentally disabled with electronic backpacks? And they would probably all say, yes, we should. But the FDA at least did, like, several years of research saying, should we or shouldn't we? You can't be ruling this stuff out just willy-nilly or everything will be ruled out. I don't know. Anyway, so that's banned. If you do, you can head on over to their site, the Judge Rottenberger Center. The logo seems to look, it looks a lot like the logo, and maybe I'm just remembering it wrong. It reminds me of the logo of the toddlers who walked out of the school. It's like a little sunshine with a rainbow. Yay, we're on, very electric over here. Let's watch a video. This is the worst video, cause there's no speaking in it. It's just kids sliding down slides. Oh yeah, they look like they're having fun in the gym playing basketball. That guy had a big black fro. Let's skip ahead.
Board certified behavior analysts. Some of them are doctoral level, some of them are master's level. We have licensed psychologists, and then we have licensed mental health counselors. And people that are also students who are pursuing some of those degrees as well.
Boring. Moving on. Man exposes himself and then assaults two people at Taco Bell. Spartanburg County man was arrested after deputies said he exposed himself and assaulted two people, including a pregnant woman. It all happened inside the Taco Bell. According to Spartanburg County Sheriff's Office, Matthew Scott Russell, 24, was under the influence of drugs and alcohol when he allegedly committed multiple crimes in a span of just 30 minutes. He's now facing 15 charges. A combination of victims and witnesses had restrained him, and they used garbage bags to tie his hands behind his back. That's what the cops saw when they arrived at the scene at Taco Bell. Deputies said Matthew Russell went inside the Taco Bell shortly after being involved in a wreck not far from the restaurant. It was an intentional hit and run, Lieutenant said. There were three victims in the car. Russell faces three counts of aggravated assault for the hit and run and two counts of assault for what happened inside the Taco Bell afterwards. He tried to kiss a pregnant female, who I think is about 7 months pregnant. He also tried to touch her pregnant stomach. What? Okay. So you crash into a car and Taco Bell just ends up being the place people run to. This has happened multiple times, and it happened in town here too, I think. A guy ran into the Taco Bell, like, after something, some altercation with the police. Anyway, he crashes, runs into a Taco Bell, and then sees a pregnant woman, tries to kiss her, and then is like, hang on, let me rub your belly. That's a beautiful baby you have. He also tried to touch her pregnant stomach. The suspect then pulled his pants down and began masturbating inside the restaurant. You can't, how can you masturbate that quick? How can you even, I don't understand. Like, I suppose it's a loose term, right? You could be a full limp and still, it could be still be called that. Pulled his pants down and began masturbating inside the restaurant. According to an incident report, he punched another customer who was trying to get him to stop. No, stop. I'm going to stop you. And then he, with one hand, keeps masturbating, and the other hand punches the guy in the face. The customer was one of many who helped detain Russell until deputies got there. He's like, I'll show you, Iraq and Iran. I commend the citizens and employees for the way they handled the situation. They appropriately restrained him, but at the same time, they did not assault him. The temptations would have been very strong to make the matters worse, and they didn't. What do you mean they didn't assault him? He was just there, pulling his pants down in peace, and they decided to stop him? I guess what they're saying is they restrained him, but they didn't beat him. Like, they didn't punch him in the head. They didn't do it, I'll show you Iraq and Iran. I guess they just restrained that guy. Despite the traumatic events, the people were willing to stay on the scene to call us and cooperate with us when we got here, and that was crucial. Blah, blah, blah. So they're happy about that. When the deputies arrived and asked who the suspect was, they said he gave a couple of fake names, and then he was taken to the jail. He's tried to escape, adding to his long list of charges. The victim, who was punched and helped hold the suspect until deputies arrived, told 7 News it took a lot of self-restraint to not fight back when Russell hit him. He said he was also praying for the pregnant woman and the suspect. Maybe we'll check up on this guy in another 6 weeks when I do another show and see how he's doing. A Paralympic champion is accused of some things. Let's see here. A 9-time blind Paralympic champion allegedly grabbed a masseuse, said she could go higher, and asked if she did extras. Ooh, let's find out what's going on here. So one time I was in the grocery store parking lot, and I was going into the store, and I overheard one of the cart pushers talk to a customer. And the cart pusher said to the customer, people ask me how I'm so good at my job, as he's pushing his carts. And he said, and I tell them, it's because I'm a 10-time gold medalist in the Special Olympics. So we're going to see if that story has any relation to this story. Lord Christopher Holmes of Richmond 48. They're always calling themselves Lord over there in the UK. Denies a charge of sexual assault against a masseuse at a 5-star hotel on March 7th last year. So we're at we're almost at the anniversary of this happening. I wonder why it's just coming out now. It is news this week. It's not like I accidentally pulled up March 2019 news. Prosecutors told the jurors at the Southwark Crown Court that Holmes assaulted the woman, who cannot be named, near the end of his 90-minute treatment. She said Holmes asked to see how the woman looked, and she assumed she meant whether he could touch her face, because he's blind, right? Or has he been just pretending to be blind this whole time? Is there a way to know if someone's blind if they don't tell you they're blind? Like, can the doctors run a test and be like, you're not, you can see fine? Or could you just pretend to be blind your whole life just to get into the Paralympics? Ms. Strudwick said the woman agreed, thinking that this was what blind people do. Holmes admitted touching the woman on her face, shoulders, and sides before resting his hands around her hips. It's just projecting a little bit. There was no between anything. Around her hips. Jurors were told she then tried to move away, but Mr. Holmes stopped her by grabbing her buttocks. The court heard he said, nice. And, oh, like Odell Beckham. Nice. Slap. Or Odell Beckham in my brain. Listen to the last show. The court heard he said, nice, and asked if he could touch her breasts. He asked if she did extras, pointing to his crotch. Do you do extras? Ms. Strudwick said, she said, no, I am a professional. And he said, are you sure you've never done it? Question mark. No, I'm a professional. What does she think those ladies with Robert Kraft were? Not professionals? They were professionals too. The blind 9-time swimming champion sat behind his barrister with his guide dog, Nancy, for the start of the trial on Wednesday. Despite taking up a role at the House of Lords in 2013, he was referred to the court as Mr. Holmes. Oh, wait a minute. What? Oh, Lord wasn't his first name. It's his title. I'm such an idiot. I thought his name was just Lord. No, no, no. It's his title. Lord Christopher Holmes. I thought it was Lord Chris. What is wrong with me? Listen, I had a beer. Okay? The court heard he previously told the woman she could go higher if she wanted to when she was massaging his left thigh. The prosecution alleged the incident was a deliberate sexual assault or sexual touching. Mr. Holmes, we say, wanted more than a massage. Wink. Ms. Strudrick said Holmes took advantage of embarrassment some people feel over how to act around blind people. He thought that if he was not successful in his bid for sexual release, he could talk his way out of it. Yeah, that's what happens when you go blind. All of your other senses, including talking, get stronger. He thought Holmes denied grabbing her, pointing toward his groin, or asking for sexual services. In the statement heard in the court, Holmes told police he's only lightly touched her. It is obviously a bit strange to be massaged by someone without knowing what they look like, it read. No, it's not. As I am basing my recollection only on touch, I cannot be sure exactly where my hands rested, but there was absolutely no intention to touch her in a sexual way. It was purely to give me an idea of her appearance. The trial continues. All right, and now we are on to the final story of the week. It's a big one. College recruit... Oh, wait a minute. That's not the final story of the week. We're going to skip that one. Oh, we have to read this one quick now because it's the headline is too funny.
We invite Senator Warren's supporters into our campaign.
Nathaniel Woods, one of two cop girls.
That had nothing to do with it. A college recruiter has been fired after a controversial visit to a prestigious high school after he asked students to line up based on the color of their skin complexion and by who had the nappiest hair. Nobody said the word nappy until Imus did it, and now everyone thinks it's funny. The incident occurred when a college recruiter for Oklahoma Christian University, of course, visited Harding Charter Preparatory School in Oklahoma City and allegedly told the students it was time to play a little game. I want to play a little game. By the way, I don't think Jigsaw ever said the words play a little game. I think he just said, I want to play a game. According to ABC News station. Uh-oh, we should have just looked it up here. Well, whatever. He barely talked about the school itself. I could already see through his BS, basically. He wasn't really knowledgeable in how to speak to people, even at a diverse school. The recruiter, who is white, asked the high school juniors in attendance to self-organize into a line from darkest skin to lightest skin, but it didn't stop there. He told us to line up nappiest hair in the back and straightest hair in the front. So he's got a 2D... He's got a 2D grid going, right? White to black on the X dimension, and then straight to nappy on the Y dimension. This is a test of math to see if they're good or not. This is where I felt uncomfortable. I was like, okay, this isn't right. The students weren't the only ones who were offended. The teachers left. They were crying, and they were offended. Their faces just looked disgusted. I know they had to talk with him after. Like, that's not... I know they had to talk with him after. Like, that's not okay. So the teachers are there. There's a recruiter. But they don't say anything. They're just like, I guess the recruiter's in charge. He knows the X to Y, black to nappy calculation on how we're going to get our kids into college, I suppose. Oklahoma Christian University took swift action against the recruiter once they learned of the incident, according to a statement released by the school. This person is no longer an Oklahoma Christian University employee, the statement read. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. The recruiter has not been identified. Harding's charter principal, Stephen Stefanik, also released a statement saying the school condemns this recruiter's behavior. Our community from its inception has valued diversity, inclusion, and a safe and supportive learning environment. We will continue to do so. Exactly. This guy was just demonstrating diversity. Okay, at its core, what is wrong with saying line up white to black? There's literally, clear your head of everything you've ever been taught about blackness.
Laughing and joking about blackness again.
Just telling a group of people, line up white to black is not racist. In fact, that's what they do in, like, Blue's Clues or Dora the Explorer. I mean, they don't line up that way, but they're like, hey, look at all the diversity. We're lined up black to white. That's pretty cool, huh? We're all like in a line. Okay. I guess if you say nappiest in the back, maybe you're implying that nappy hair belongs in the back of the bus. And I guess that's where the line is. But okay. Anyway, I don't know. Am I defending it? No, I'm just thinking like, what's the story? What did he and why did he do that? Whatever. He's fired. We'll never know who he was. All right, a Joker impersonator has been arrested after a Facebook Live broadcast. A man in a Joker costume and makeup scared people while he was filming himself on Facebook Live, Missouri police say. He's now in jail, and the man's supporters are calling for his freedom. This is crazy, guys. This is not a video about this. Police called 911 to report that Garnier was making threats on a Facebook Live video. Police found him inside a business and arrested him. This is the video of him. The photo of him with his makeup kind of rubbed off, but not really. The news loves this. They are so happy that someone dressed up as the Joker and got arrested. This is almost as good as razor blades in chocolate. An hour-long Facebook Live video that Garnier posted Monday was still online as of Wednesday. It is down now. I hate it. It's down. The video appears to show Garnier leave a residence in a long purple coat and makeup, drive to a shopping mall, quoting Heath Ledger's Joker character. He then drives to another business where he speaks with people inside before filming his arrest on Facebook Live. He was in jail without bond. Someone reported mistakenly that he was making threats. This is a quote. And he was only playing a role from the GoFundMe page. So let's check out another article and see if there's any more information. All right. One of the quotes he said on the video was, I can't be inebriated when I'm planning on killing a bunch of people, he says. Okay. Is that a quote from the movie? I don't know. While live streaming himself on Facebook, he holds up a giant magnifying glass and emits a nervous giggle. Off screen, someone asks what he wants to drink. The Joker requests a Sprite. Later, the police show up. The 51-year-old Jeremy Garnier is arrested on first-degree felony charge of making a terroristic threat. But the Monday night incident was just a misunderstanding, according to his friends. All right, he's got a GoFundMe. Let's see what the GoFundMe says. Jeremy was taken into custody Monday night at a Blueberry Hill while live on Facebook. Now, the news is saying, man in Joker costume arrested for making terroristic threats. And everyone reads the headline and they go, holy crap, what a psycho. He probably was garnishing a gun. Garnishing a gun? Would that be like if you put like spices on it? He probably was brandishing a gun and yelling at people and being a complete out-of-his-mind psycho. No, he went out on the town dressed in a little bit of a costume. But let's see what the GoFundMe has to say. Remember, he's in jail. This GoFundMe was made by someone else. He was in full makeup and costume as the Joker and was entertaining his followers by acting like the Joker. The video is on his Facebook wall. Someone reported mistakenly that he was making threats when he was only playing a role. He's being held at the jail, charged with making terroristic threats and given no bond. While this was undoubtedly not Jeremy's best decision, considering the consequences, he was not threatening anyone. As he says, he was chasing clout, trying to increase his Facebook viewers and bring attention to the opiate crisis plaguing this country. This is an extremely serious felony charge. I'm asking for your help so that I can retain an attorney to get Jeremy a psych evaluation to show he truly is not a threat to society and to hopefully get a bond and get those charges dropped or at least reduced. Okay, so you can actually check out his Facebook. And he's got a ton of stuff. He's got no worries. I successfully downloaded the video and have it on my computer and flash drive for safekeeping. So this is someone who's commented. Someone grabbed it. Because it was taken down by Facebook. Jeremy's in jail, apparently still. I'm reading the Facebook right now. He couldn't have taken it down. No one has his password. So if you scroll through here, there is a ton of people commenting support for this guy. Here's a video of him that isn't related to the Joker one. It's him in his car, he's just smoking.
We're not having sex out of wedlock or anything like that. We haven't done anything as far as there's no grounds on which a fucking divorce lawyer could fucking get her in the bed. I'll tell you that much.
I don't know what he's rambling about, but if you want to check it out, he is on Facebook. So that happened. We're going to keep an eye on here. He's got a ton of followers. He probably didn't do anything. I'm not, everyone thinks that I'm on this show going, let's defend the people who got arrested for stuff. No. Let's just not jump to conclusions based on the headline that says a man made terroristic threats, because I don't think he did. This has been News with Nick. Thank you for coming out for the recorded video version of the show or the downloaded podcast version of the show. Check out newswithnick.com. Check out Jeremy Joseph Garnier. His page is not open for comments, and you cannot contact him because he is in jail. Let's see when this was posted. Yeah, he is in jail as of the 4th of March. Maybe the night of the 3rd or something. So that's crazy. Felony terroristic threats for running around town in a Joker costume. Maybe he did do something crazy. We don't have the video. Someone does. Facebook and this lady. Oh, wait. Maybe we can message this lady. Glenda Volk. You know what? After the show, I'm going to message her. I'm going to see if the video is available. If it is, I will post it on newswithnick.com. It will be the only copy on the entire internet, and it will drive thousands and thousands of videos, viewers to the site, right? YouTube would probably rip it down. I could host it myself, but then Bluehost would take me down, right? Because I don't have my own server. So I would need to turn on my own server, point my site to that. You know what? This is too complicated to think about right now and not something we should be discussing on the show. I hope you're happy. Good night. I know it's good night. I hope you're happy. I screwed it up. I'm sorry.